Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS. According to the National Assessment of Educational Progress, up to two-thirds of U.S. students are not considered proficient in writing. A Michigan State University study looking into exactly how we're teaching our students to write and what can be done to change these concerning statistics. To discuss the results, I'm joined by the co-directors of the study, Gary Troia, an MSU Associate Professor of Education, and Natalie Olinghaus, an Assistant Professor of Education at the University of Connecticut. Thank you both for joining me this evening.
Thank you for having us on.
Okay, Gary.
Thank you very much.
Sure, absolutely. Great to have you here. Gary, let me start with you. You know, with all the texting kids are doing nowadays, you think that their writing skills would be better than ever. Why is that not the case?
Well, there are many reasons why kids struggle with writing. Part of it is instructional. Part of it is the standards that we have in writing vary widely across the country, and that's part of what our study is looking at. In terms of instruction, there are a lot of surveys and observational studies that have been done that have shown that teachers aren't doing quite enough of the things that they need to do to help students meet college and career readiness goals in writing.
Now, Natalie, the U.S. Department of Education provided a $1.6 million grant to study this issue. If I remember correctly, long ago we were taught how to write by starting with letters and then words, and then it was off to the writing races. Isn't this the same basic steps that schools are now taking students through?
Well, part of the problem is that schools vary widely in terms of the kind of instruction that they're delivering to students, so that even within the same school, a student could get very different writing instruction in kindergarten and then to first grade and second grade and third grade. And I think one of the pieces that the Common Core state standards, which the majority of states have adopted at this point, is trying to do is to standardize instruction and expectations for kids. Another piece is just that writing's pretty complex, and so the demands in the U.S. economy and civic society and more global economy and society are increasing, and that means that the writing demands are increasing as well.
Gary, although it is something that we've been doing for many generations now, is this a new phenomenon of so many students being unable to be proficient in writing?
No, it's not. The historical trend on the National Assessment of Educational Progress has been fairly flat performance in writing over the last couple of decades. So I think that it's a perennial problem. It's nothing new.
Is there, Gary, a direct link between writing and reading skills, or are many students proficient maybe in reading but simply not able to write at all?
There is a link between reading and writing. There's a fair amount of overlap, but they're not exactly the same thing. And it is certainly possible that a student could be a terrific reader and really comprehend well and be able to read the words on the page, but not be a good writer, not necessarily be able to spell the words correctly or to be able to express themselves adequately in their writing. So they're not the same thing, although there is a relationship between them.
So, Natalie, when it comes to the inconsistencies in the way writing is taught, I mean, where does that happen? Aren't letters initially taught maybe in first grade and then words? I mean, isn't it a very slow progression that they all generally follow?
I think one of the main problems is that, unlike in reading, where at this point we've developed pretty good commercial programs that teach reading in a systematic way, and while there are several different publishers, they don't vary that much, particularly in the early grades in terms of the progression of skills and what students are being taught. In writing, we have very little commercialized programs that are meant to address the whole of writing, and so part of it is that teachers don't have real good commercial curriculum to guide their instruction, and so they're left to either make it up themselves or to rely on whatever their school has chosen. And the programs that the schools have to choose from often only address one aspect of writing.
I'm talking to the co-directors of a new study on the way we teach writing here in the U.S., which apparently is not quite perfect. Gary Troia, an MSU Associate Professor of Education, and Natalie Olinghouse, an Assistant Professor of Education at the University of Connecticut. So, Gary, nowadays, are students taught with a pencil and paper how to begin writing, or is it a lot more computerized? Or are kids just jumping right on a keyboard and learning how to write that way?
That's a great question. Certainly, students who come from homes where there are computers feel a lot more comfortable navigating a mouse and a keyboard and getting on the web and using the keyboard to write things. But not every child in America is in a family, in a home, that has access to computers. And the same is true in schools. So there are a lot of schools that really are under-resourced in terms of having access to technology so that every student is able to use the technology when they're writing, for example. And so there's still a lot of reliance on pen and paper or pencil and paper when doing writing instruction, even though we have transitioned to the adoption of much more technology. Another issue in using technology in writing instruction is that what we find when we look in classrooms is a lot of teachers wait to use the computer to basically have students produce their final copy of a paper, which really defeats the purpose of using all the tools and affordances of a computer to help with writing.
Well, Natalie, what about the other aspects of writing on a computer, such as spell check technology and all these other helpful features that that lets you get away with not really knowing what you're doing sometimes? Do you think that might contribute to the lack of writing skills that students may have?
I think actually it's the opposite in terms of teachers think that there are those tools in a word processing program or on the computer that will support students. And the problem is that it's just like with anything else that students need to be taught how to use those tools. If you're not a good speller and you don't know how to use spell check and you don't have strategies for figuring out what the right word is, then spell check is of no use to you. One of the other pieces that really is a great feature of word processing programs is the ability to cut and paste and move text around to help with organization. So you not only have to have good organizational skills and understand text organization, but then you have to know how to then physically be able to move text from one place to another and understand how you can do that in a different way than you can in pencil and paper. And so it requires just as much instruction as it does composing just with pencil and paper.
So, Gary, when you talk about a lack of writing proficiency, is this something where the kids are learning how to write basic sentences, but they simply are not becoming very eloquent in their writing, and they just kind of have a basic skill that doesn't go beyond that?
Well, there are many reasons why students aren't performing well that certainly fall at different levels of writing. So there are students who really struggle with the mechanical aspects of writing, so spelling and the handwriting or even the keyboarding, as Natalie was talking about. And the grammar and capitalization and the punctuation. And then there are students who struggle in addition to those things or maybe separately from those things with generating ideas and organizing them effectively and mapping those ideas onto eloquent language to communicate their ideas successfully. The NAEP doesn't really break down. The National Assessment of Educational Progress doesn't break down exactly why students might not be performing at a proficient level, but it just sets that benchmark for what is considered proficient writing, which is being able to meet challenging grade level expectations.
Would it be outrageous to say that maybe the students themselves, maybe due to the amount of technology that they're encountering and other distractions, are simply not as good at developing writing skills as maybe previous generations have been?
No, I wouldn't say that, because I think it's a perennial problem that we've seen. You know, if you look at The issue is that, so for example, college professors, we often, you know, for decades and decades and decades, complain about the writing skills of our students in our classes. So I think that shows that it's a perennial problem, that students come from K-12 education and they're just not prepared to write at the levels of expectation we have in the academic world. But the issue is that nowadays, even in the workplace, the demands for writing proficiency have increased so much that there are very few even blue-collar jobs that don't require some level of sophisticated writing to be able to perform the job well. So I think we're seeing a greater press for writing proficiency that we haven't seen in the past, and so it's becoming more noticeable that we have a crisis in writing.
Finally, Natalie, what needs to happen then to change this? Are these Common Core writing standards, do they cover the changes that need to be made across the country to improve writing skills?
I think the answer is yes and maybe. Part of it is that what we have done is with the adoption of Common Core state standards by 46 states is we remove the variability in what states are expecting of their students in writing. There's a tremendous amount of variability currently from state to state to state. And so the Common Core state standards represent kind of a cohesive set of benchmarks or expectations for students across the nation, which I think is really important. The other piece about Common Core that I think is very positive is that they're very concise. They are very succinct. They're very clear. And so I think that the ability for teachers to interpret them will be much easier than perhaps their present state's standards.
Is there one thing you can point to as maybe being the key change that needs to be made?
I think, you know, a lot of it is really just coming down to some consistent instruction from grade to grade to grade. I think most of us would say that if we're trying to learn something and we're getting mixed messages from one grade to the next, that that's going to be problematic. So I think, if nothing else at this point, having students move towards common grade level expectations and some consistency in instruction, which is going to require some more commercialized curriculum that is research-based and designed to meet the needs of today's writers, I think that's probably a really good first step.
Natalie Olinghaus, an assistant professor of education at the University of Connecticut, and Gary Troia, an MSU associate professor of education. Thank you both for joining me this evening.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.